everybody. This is Monday. This is Winfrey and Terry Brown with our Monday night conference call. And the format this evening is we have a topic that we come up with that we think is going to be important to those of you listening. And we ask questions to sources that identify themselves as being out there. They say they're group souls. They say they're kind of oversouls for our planet. And they're here to help us. They say they're here to help us with respect to this shift that our planet's going through. And Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
And is our conference call there? Do we hear anybody on the conference call?
Hello?
Yes, Vin.
All right. I'm just making sure. You know, this is different.
We're here.
I'm not sure I like this better. Energetically, I'm not sure I like it better. Because I'm talking on BBS radio now. I'm not on the conference call. Usually I do it kind of a duplex where I make a conference call between the conference call and BBS. And we did it this way because we've been having so much trouble on Mondays. So I don't feel as close to the conference call. I feel more like a radio broadcaster on BBS. So maybe I should talk to you guys on the conference call and help me get tuned in. Now, who did I hear? Who did I hear on the call? I heard a voice that was familiar.
Lisa.
Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Chris is here.
Chris is there.
Edna's here.
Edna's there. And
my cat Angel just said meow.
Okay. Chris, don't send me any more gory videos, okay?
That wasn't gory, was it?
Yeah, it was. Go take a look.
It was kind of a playful type interpretation.
Now, I wonder if you guys are as loud on the internet as you are in my earphone, because you're very loud. That's all right. We're going to mute you in just a moment, so not a big deal. Anyone have anyone see the topic I sent out today? Did anyone see the topic for tonight's call that I sent out in the email?
It's about the shift.
Right. Somebody just came into the call. Would you like to say your name and your city? No. Okay. I'm going to mute everybody.
Muted.
Okay, everyone's muted. And Terry, you're here still, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Terry, do I sound good to you? Does this new microphone sound good?
No, it's almost as good as it was before.
Almost as good. It's supposed to be better.
I had it. Right.
All right. At least it is working, so we will see where it goes. Try it tonight. Hear how the tape sounds. I mean, this is like a $100 microphone compared to the normal.
Then I think you muted yourself because I can't hear you.
Can you hear me, Terry?
I can hear you.
No.
There's got to be a joke in there somewhere.
How are you doing, Michael?
Good. How about yourself?
Now, Michael, do you hear me?
When can you hear me?
Wait a second.
Muted.
Now, can you hear me?
Yes, now I hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? Yes, I hear you now.
Now, wait a second. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. And hang on a second.
Muted.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? No. Okay.
Muted.
Can you hear me now, Heinz?
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Okay, listen.
Okay, listen.
You guys better mute your calls manually, because if I mute the phone, I don't know why. It should be coming in. Oh, I know why it's not coming in. Well, because BBS didn't come in as a moderator. So when I mute you, I mute BBS, and it doesn't come through. So that's something I'll have to watch out for in the future. And I see what happened. All right, but it's working now, and there's not too much background noise. And Terry, you're still there. God. And thank you all for your patience. I think we have to get more professional. We can't go through this every time we do a call. Thank you for all of you who are here. And let me get rid of those tones. All right, I think we got rid of the tones. Okay. I hope people are hearing us. Yes, they are.
They are.
Okay. See, when I unmute the phone, this is a technical thing. We're trying something new, and we've had complaints that people can't hear us. My voice is too low. So we tried a new way of plugging our microphone in tonight. Let's go right into the topic. If anyone, Terry, don't make background noise. Don't hit things. Everything comes over like it's right here, okay?
I'm not making any noise at all.
Thank you. And then, Hives, anyone who's a moderator, if you're making noise, please mute your phone, okay? Thank you. Sounds like somebody's in their kitchen. All right. This is Monday, April 9th. And for the past 10 years, we have been talking... Hang on. One more second.
Hi, Wynn, this is Gary.
Somebody is in their kitchen, and they're making a lot of noise. And if I mute you, I can't mute everybody. And so if you don't mute yourself, we're going to hear your plates rattling. I hope they've turned themselves off, okay? Because I can't mute everybody. If I mute everybody, you won't hear the show. You won't hear what we're going to do. So thank you. It sounds quiet. For the past 12 years, since I came out with the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I became aware, in fact, I started when I first started writing that book, that we are in the midst of a shift. And there were going to be a lot of changes taking place. And the book started to describe some of the changes. There were many, many things in the book. And those of you who are studying David Wilcock right now might want to go back and look at that book, because the book is not a reiteration of what David's doing now. It's different. And at the time of the book, David was expressing himself sometimes as a channel and sometimes as what he called a scientific intuitive. And he was channeling a source that said they were a group soul, that they were part of the Ra group. And it seemed to me that they were attempting to give our planet guidance for this period we're in. Now, they were also counseling David. And interestingly enough, in their counsel, they were saying things like, leave the negative alone, don't pay attention to it. If you focus on it, you'll pull it towards you. Let our messages come through. We can stop disasters on your planet. David, get your ego out of the way. Actually, it said, David, get your ego out of the way. Let our messages come through. We can stop disasters on your planet. And when the book came out, David shifted his focus to, I would say, what he called intuitive science, and probably, if you're following his site now, talking to insiders who have inside information on the plans of the New World Order, the Illuminati, etc., and he's become very controversial. And I've had to study him to figure out, where do I position myself in all of this? Because I'm my own person, and I wrote the book from my perspective, and David edited it, but it was essentially my creation. He wouldn't have done that book himself. No way. And he was very resistant to being looked upon as the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, understandably, because that creates a huge amount of responsibility. People kind of think you know what's going on. If you're Edgar Cayce, or if you were Edgar Cayce, then, of course, Edgar Cayce was the most documented psychic prophet in the history of the world, perhaps. And he was so correct on his predictions. Now, in the book, they also said, in the book I wrote, that both David and Cayce had negative sources. And they didn't know that they had negative sources. Now, what does that tell us? If you notice, how many times do I say, don't believe channelings? Listen to them. Take what you can, take the wisdom, but don't believe them blindly, because there's a predisposition in a human to want to give their power up to something other than themselves. You know, I have somebody that I keep talking about alternative cures for things, and, you know, they have someone that's not well, and they don't want, it's been hard to get across the idea of trying something natural, alternative, when it's so easy to go to the doctor and he just says, prescribe this. Now, why is that? The reason is, when you go to the doctor and the doctor says to do something, you don't have any responsibility in it anymore except for getting the person to the doctor. When you don't go to the doctor and you want to find a natural cure for something, then you suddenly assume a great deal of personal responsibility. When it's so easy to go to the doctor and you get the prescription. Now, do we have an echo coming in? Okay. So, We don't necessarily want to be personally responsible for things. Terry, do you hear that echo?
Yeah, I do. It's the voice.
It's me.
In the background. It might be coming in from BBS or something.
Muted.
No, I just muted everybody. Hang on a second.
Unmuted.
Okay. I just unmuted everybody. And I'm gonna have to mute you. Because somebody is not muting themselves manually, and unfortunately, that's going to cause us. Okay, is Don on the line? Don, can you hear me? Seth? Don, Seth? Okay. Seth? Could you pay attention and... When you call, you might have to redial the conference line because I'm having a problem. And the problem is when I mute the conference line, I mute you as well. So unless you're a moderator, then you won't be unmuted. And the way to be a moderator is to use the access code and press asterisk. Okay? So maybe you could call the conference line back. Because otherwise, if I don't mute them, there's all kinds of strange sounds coming in here. Here.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And now they're muted. I muted everybody, but they can't hear me. Because what happened is I muted you.
Did you?
Okay. So call the... Okay, hang on a second.
All callers are muted.
Did you call them back? Okay, call them back. I'll leave it open. Okay. Okay, Seth is going to call back as a moderator, and that will solve the problem because then I can mute everybody, and the sound feed from BBS will still be coming into the conference call. So I'm going to leave it unmuted right now. And right now, it sounds like we don't have too many weird sounds in the background, and I totally lost my track, so let me get on with it. So many of the things that are happening in the world right now are things that were predicted in the book, and even to the point where when David asked Source with why he looked like Edgar Casey, and they said because he was Edgar Casey, and if he studied Edgar Casey, he'd see all the parallels. But this lifetime, if he was going to do his highest purpose, he wasn't going to do past life readings and health readings, but he would be a public figure and explain the shift to the planet. So David certainly has become a public figure, and he is explaining the shift, and he's also talking about a lot of other things, like a bunch of ninjas in China that might be helping to overthrow the negative. Internal, almost revolutionary stuff. And I'm not sure he didn't follow the advice of sources at that time. Now, keep in mind, you know, when you talk about this following the advice of sources, it becomes a nightmare. Because when you consider the fact, as they said, that any time in a channeling, a source could be switched to a negative, it's possible. And so if you're going to follow a source and say, tell me what to do, if that source switches to negative, and just the very act of doing that, the very act of saying, tell me what to do, I will follow you, actually can attract a negative source. So when I quote David's source as saying, don't pay attention to all the political agendas, get your ego out of the way, we can stop disasters on your planet. It's going to take a lot of thinking to say, well, is that the good guy source or something negative coming in and taking David away from his highest purpose? You see how tricky all of this is? So the topic tonight was, are we working on planetary evolution or personal evolution? What's more important? What should our focus be? And I'm not sure our source can tell us specifically, to tell, because it's going to be an individual matter. It's going to be an individual matter from person to person. But we can get some of the parameters of that, some of the general ideas. You know, there's a lot of beautiful things happening in the world right now. There's people living on communes. There's people making farms. There's people doing free energy. There's organizations. There's the movie Thrive, which is, if you haven't seen it, I believe it's now available for free on YouTube. It's a movie that exposes a lot of the agendas of what we call the negative. And it was produced, and a lot of money was put into the production by a guy by the name of Procter Gamble, who happens to be one of the heirs of Procter Gamble. Procter Gamble is what he's an heir of. His name is Foster Gamble. And, of course, he's a Procter Gamble heir. So in one way of looking at the world, Procter Gamble would be one of those companies that represent the negative. And I will say, without a shadow of a doubt, there most definitely is a negative. There most definitely are sources, control sources, both in business and government, that have agendas. And it is very hard to figure out what's going on as a human unless you do a lot of cross-referencing on the internet. And when you start doing that, you get caught up in something called disinformation, where, of course, if we look at regular information, we would look at the regular media and the news and what they're saying. And of course, we know, maybe we don't know that, but I know that that's not, can't be trusted, that that news source is being controlled. But when you go into disinformation, now you have organizations that are looking like they're positive and looking like they have important things to tell you, but they have an agenda because they want to mislead you. And say, for example, if you start looking up David Wilcox's recent comments, interview with this guy that says the country is on the verge of arresting arresting the heads of business that have perpetrated crimes against the world. And you read that, and the guy sounds very good. The question is that guy legitimate or is he disinformation? And there's a big budget up there for disinformation. And I'm not going to answer that question. I'm just going to ask it. And I'm going to tell you that when you're surfing the internet, if you're looking for things, you must keep that in the back of your mind if you're going to try to figure out what's going on. So there are things. I'm trying to think of something that I can say is different disinformation. I'm pretty sure it is. the whole thing becomes very much like science fiction. And, for example, there's people saying that there's spacemen going to land and they're going to save us. There's people saying that the negative is going to create a circumstance of such hardship on this planet that when spaceships land, they're going to look like they're going to save us, but they're really the negative that's designed to enslave us. Oh, great. Thank you. Let me just see here. Okay, everyone's muted, and we should be clear sailing. Okay, so if who is that? Okay, so it's a bit of a nightmare trying to figure out what's going on. And even when people are nice, and even when they sound good, and even when they sound loving, they could be a product of following disinformation and be leading people astray unknowingly. In fact, those are the best people to lead people astray. Why are they the best people? Because they sound so sincere and loving. If somebody didn't sound that way, they'd say, he's no good. He's nasty and angry all the time. But so the goal is to get those sweet and loving people and misdirect them. And I have the idea that a lot of the New Age movement has fallen under that spell. And, of course, I'm a product of the New Age movement, but I've been studying it and seeing all the influences. And that's how tricky it is because, you know, people saying how wonderful love and light is and channels coming through about spaceships landing. Where are these channels getting their sources if they're talking about spaceships landing? Because there are definitely people channeling and saying that. Well, supposedly you can program and project words and thoughts into people's minds from other realms. And they can do it through technological things or psychic things. And they have to make themselves acceptable. They have to make themselves look good. So otherwise no one will listen. So we are all here and we're trying to discern stuff. And I get emails from people all the time and I have to say, I think that's not a positive source. And the only thing that has convinced me that we have a positive source, and I say usually positive, maybe always, but I don't want to say 100%, is the energies on these calls. Now, it's not necessarily on this call, because this is a different kind of call. This is kind of an informational call, at least up to this point. But that energy on the call is extremely loving. It's an energy that touches each person in a very personal way that tunes into it. And they say that's them. It's not just being friendly and loving. It's an energy that moves right into your space, into your bedroom, that you can feel. Now, where is that energy coming from? That is a demonstration for me that validates the positive polarity of our work. And then the transformations that people have after they connect with that energy. And that's why I'm doing this, because of you, because of the results you're getting. And so, going back to the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, there was this idea that was coming through that we are going through a separation of souls, a graduation of sorts, and that the Earth was moving into a fourth density Earth, a heart chakra Earth, And that in order to participate in that new earth, your own heart had to be open, slightly more than half. Otherwise, your energy field would no longer fit into the earth's energy field. And so there was going to be a separation of souls. There were going to be those souls that would get moved to another planet in another star system to repeat the lessons of third density. And there would be those souls that would be graduating to a higher dimensional earth, a loving earth. And who was the coordinator of all this? The Ra Group, the very same source that was speaking to people in the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Now, if that's true, and they're on this line with us, they are good guys to get to know. And it may not be true. Maybe that was something negative coming through David. That's why, if you haven't taken the time to read these materials and study them, you're selling yourself short. Because if we have it right, this is really important. Because we have not only the group soul that created the physical universe on the line with us, we have the group soul that is administrating this whole division of souls process. And if that's true, this is a great opportunity to get on their good side and hear what they have to say about what's going on down here. And then there's other people that are acting as if the whole planet's going to shift and everyone's going to change and we're going to have this new world of love light, and that we have to be building that and working on that. And it's like people give up, put their positive anticipation in the future on this great new world that's coming, and they're not necessarily in the present. So we're going to be asking questions about that this evening. We have about 20, 25 minutes left, and this is a critical time for the history of our planet. It is critical. And I can tell you one thing I will share from early readings of Daphne. You know, I had said, well, will life end in 212? And the answer was no, most likely no. And then they seemed to say that there would be some kind of modicum of order until 2017. And they didn't say what would happen after 2017. And I suspect it depends on us. I mean, it could go maybe for hundreds of years. It depends on the consciousness we're creating. But we do know that there is a negative agenda that would like to change anything to a more contracted perspective. In other words, one of the things that seems to be true of the negative agenda is they'd like to do away with two-thirds of the population. And if you don't think the negative agenda has power, which I hope they don't, but I ask myself, how come there's chemtrails every day? How come when people examine these things, they are harmful? How come our educational system in this country has gone down the tubes? How come we just did a war in Afghanistan where hundreds of thousands of people were killed based on a false premise, and no one even protested? The war in Iraq, maybe, where they're saying he had weapons of mass destruction. And later they say, excuse me, he didn't have weapons of mass destruction. After we go in and shock and awe loads amount of people. And then we have New Orleans when we had that hurricane. And all those people that were suffering and couldn't even leave. It looked like they were being punished. They were trapped. And there was no public outcry, even though it was in the news every day. Do you think they were testing us to see apathetic we might be? And if the world's very apathetic, then who's going to stop this from happening? And what have you done today to make a difference, to make a change? On that note, we're going to call in the light. Terry, is this topic okay with you?
Okay.
Pardon me?
All right.
We'll see, right? You know, this is
we'll see what they say. I don't know.
You guys that listen know this is very seat of the pants. And the reason we can do this, you know, given all that I just said about negative sources and how careful, very few go on and do this kind of questions and answers to these kinds of sources live. And it took me a long time to say, well, it doesn't seem like it's negative. I can't read any negative agendas in there. And so that's why we started it. We started it very carefully. And then those of you who are on the line help hold the energy and the space and the protection and have built the grounding so this can occur. You know, as they said through Terry on Saturday in that meditation with Daphne, my mind went blank. They said that people think that Terry is the one to be connected to. Of course, no one thinks that I am, because I'm not the channel. That's good. But they said, no, Terry is just letting us share space with her to bring these messages through, and that getting to know Terry, there's a lot of really great things about getting to know Terry. Terry is really a great person, but she's not them. She's her. And she has her human side, which I'm aware of, and I have my human side. Of course, people, since I don't channel, it's okay, more or less okay for me to have a human side. So we have this very special circumstance on these calls to be able to get this incredible information, plus to get these incredible vibrations coming in our way from the higher dimensions. Some of you who are paying attention to energy notice, as soon as I say certain things, the energy shifts. That's one of the things that amazed me. I said, geez, I start talking about energy coming in from higher dimensions, and it's kind of like they're waiting for the opening. They've probably been waiting for it on Earth for a long, long time. And I think we're giving them an opening to talk to us. So on that note, I'm going to call in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on the line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the planetary fields, through the energy field of the Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us
and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Ra'an. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are with you this April 9th, 2012. You have grasped through part of the year of 2012. There has been much trepidation about 2012 because of the Mayan calendar and because people have been generating rumors about possible things that might happen, and then in the background are the real threats that individual countries hold as seemingly important to them for their defense and power positioning. We understand your questions and your nervousness about the future. We look at things from a longer point in term of view. We're over thousands of years, there are the buildup of civilization and the eliminating of country organizations and then the renewal of other countries. Over the long period of time, we see there as a country develops, there can be a complacency come in among the people. And individuals can begin to take advantage of power and rest on their laurels, and the enthusiasm for building and for communication and for the growth of the individual lives in the country and the individuals in the country can be superseded by a complacency and a resting on their laurels and a desire for the sitting back and allowing things to happen and to take advantage of the pleasures of life. We look at things in terms of this, and we see the need for renewed enthusiasm of individuals as when they sit back complacent and attempt to use the proceeds from earlier windfalls and do not keep creating that things begin to go downhill. When individuals do not actively take part in the building, there can be a plateau and things can begin to reverse. The enthusiasm, the passion begins to be lost. There are other factors which can supersede the building and the enthusiasm of the people, and one of these other factors could be Mother Nature. However, if one is diligent with building and compassion and with enthusiasm, they can surmount these changes in nature and can use it as added impetus for growth and renewed we search for the words, renewed ideas and concepts towards building. Therefore, we say that much of the future rests in the hands of the people. Do you have questions?
Yes. You know, at the time, we were talking about the time of writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, there were kind of projections of future possibilities. Some of those projections were that the government might have a whole shift and change, or even a revolution. And it seemed like it was because as people became more aware of the truth and the deceptions that that might occur, they talked about the Ra group speaking through David, assuming it was the Ra group, was talking about, of course, ascension, and that people were going to be leaving in their bodies, and that was in the year 2000. This is the year 2012. Could you give a view on how that view in 2000 has shifted or modified in April of
2012? Give us a moment. Do you not see that the view has shifted that much? As there have been time delays entered in, and there have been the work of individual light workers who are working to bring in more light that more people may graduate the realm and more people may wake up. There has been a holding pattern and there have been interventions that have held things up and prevented them from too deep a crash or destruction. There are forces that are working to bring about our own ends without consideration of the free will of the individuals. However, they have had to delay their timelines based upon some of the light workers' work, such as yourself and other light workers, such as David. However, we do not wish to get into the localized politics of what is going on now between David and the insiders.
Thank you. So, when there are groups that give people hope, and there are a lot of light workers that are reaching for hope, reaching for a savior, reaching for ETs helping us, and they're highly intended people, and they see, you know, we've had this discussion and we've asked it, that it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. What is the advantage to the negative of giving someone hope when something is not actually going to happen?
You are making assumptions in between the formulation of your question and the question. You are making the assumption that they are giving people hope, which may or may not be the case. There are 50 different factions within the group you are speaking of. Some of them have different ideals and goals, and others do not agree with what they're doing. There is what you might say infighting. So as a group, they do not have a uniform harmonious we search for words. Harmonious idea here.
I was going to rephrase the question slightly, and if we take a moment that there are certain ideas of hopefulness, and that at some future point something will happen that makes everything change. And hopefulness could be Jesus returning, it could be spaceman landing, and that there are highly intended people and loving people
that buy into some of these ideas. And so the question is, if you're highly intended and loving, and you buy into an idea of hope that doesn't happen or may not happen, what is the impact of that on yourself, your own evolution, if you bought into the wrong idea? Does it make a difference?
We take it before the situation to the point of inaction or action. If a person buys into something where everything is going to be done for them, they're going to be given it, they're going to act and wait for this hope, and they do not have any action of their own in connection with it, then it is doomed to have a great chance of failing. If everyone is simply waiting for something to happen, then they are like chaff upon the water, and they can be taken under in the undertow, or they can be taken out to sea. They may not be grounded. They don't have their own connected purpose toward their future. It is when individuals are working together and are grounded and are doing actions toward their future that they build a solid future that will support the people involved. When they sit and wait for pictures in the sky or for someone to walk in and give them Nasara or for everything to fall like manna from the sky and they do no actions, they are not really connected to their life or living in their life or growing to the extent they are capable of or would be the best for them.
Thank you. That was an awesome answer, and it kind of resolves the show today on the question I asked, personal or planetary evolution. It's like whatever is happening in the future, you are happening in the now, and you need to find the way, we need to find a way to make ourselves happen in the now. And the more we do that, I suspect, and I'll have our sources answer this, the more we do that, I suspect, the better the future is going to turn out. And that'll be our last question for tonight, and then we'll close the show. And I do apologize for all the technical difficulties. I hope my voice sounds better tonight. I'm using a better microphone. And so we went on Skype and it changed our procedure. So thanks for going along with us. And I think it was quite well worth waiting for. We had some great, great guidance this evening. And I turn it over to our sources to answer that question.
Thank you. Yes. It is about you and your connection with your life and the building of your own life. And then together, as people build, they can implement things to aid them in their growth, in their community growth, and in their country growth. Without personal growth, then, as they are the source, they do not have as much to give to their community or their country or their family. It works together. I don't know.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for being here. I'm not going to try to go back on the conference line. It's too complicated. But thank you all on the conference line for holding the energy. And we will see on our Wednesday call. Please submit questions. Questions at messageaday.net. Submit your own personal questions. Even if you think they're dumb. And why should you ask what would seem like an inconsequential and dumb question on a Wednesday? Because it's not inconsequential for you. For you, it's very important. And our sources have been very masterful at taking questions, even questions that would seemingly cause someone to give up their power, and turning it around and empowering them through their answer. So it's worth trying it. They also said, and this is a very important one here, when you ask a question, they have to make a track through all the fields to look at you, to look at your auric field, to look at you to answer your question. And when they do that, then they go back to where they are. They leave a track that opens the possibilities for you to go back and connect with them. And that is a priceless experience to have in a human body. So when you ask a question, you open up the possibility for this kind of track to be developed. And so I urge you to send your questions in and listen to our Wednesday call. And I give priority to questions from people who have never asked a question before, because it's more important to you. So please submit your questions, and we'll see you next time. And watch for the email on the audio for the Saturday session, where we had both Daphne and Terry both on the line doing a preliminary transmission prior to the meditation. And I would say the energy on that call, even though there was like 20, 25 minutes of silence, was about as high as I can ever remember it being. And if you can feel it, it'll help you greatly to enhance your connection. So on that note, we'll see you all next time. And thank you for being here.